The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Wow. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Wow. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, news with an agenda is propaganda. That's the truth. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because if I stayed home, I'd still talk this much, only I'd just be doing it in front of a mirror. That doesn't sound like a good idea. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. Bye. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here it is. Oh, this is such a good one. Do we operate in his appointment, or do we operate in disappointment? It's only a one-letter difference. Do we operate in his appointment or disappointment? Wow. Great question to answer. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or even a question, don't let it die of loneliness. That would be sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. I know it's a phone, but it probably won't bite you. 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, that's like a peaceful day and evening with no drama. That would be nice, right? No drama.
Yes, it would.
Like, every day would be nice.
Yep, yep.
All right, folks, you can also text us. Isn't that just wonderful? You can call us, you can text us, you can send us vibes, but we're in the middle of a building, and I don't know how that's going to work. But anyway, bottom line is you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
So you can call us, you can text us, you can send us an email. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. He Must Increase is based on John 3:30, where John said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's kind of the goal. So David@hemustincrease.org. You can email during the show. Additionally, we're going to send you up to the website. A couple of things to tell you about the website, very important for you to be aware of. There are interviews on the website for people that I've had a chance to talk to in the past, everywhere from, from Weird Al Yankovic down. So from W down, just go downward. John Maxwell Maxwell, another great interview. Just a lot of wonderful people. Plus, I had the privilege to interview a lot of the people that are leaders in the Christian community. So that's always been a blessing. It's always fun to hear from them. I want you to be aware of those interviews. You can listen to them. Some of them are older. That's right. Some of them are a little newer. That's kind of how that works. In addition, if you have any interest in being an ambassador for our show, now what's that, ambassador? What are you talking about? Well, we send you free bumper stickers, business cards, and brochures, and you are not required to do anything with them unless the Lord directs you. So that's how you be an ambassador. You go on the site, you check it out, you go, oh, I like that. I want to do that. Maybe I'm running to somebody. Maybe I think they'd like the show. It'd be a blessing for them. You know, maybe they're saved. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they're almost saved. You get what I'm saying? Just use that material, hand it out, and be a blessing to them. Plus, on the website, we give people an opportunity to partner with us in advancing the gospel. Our big thrust is to encourage one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. And yes, it will be a day. And so the idea behind this is to lift one another up, strengthen one another, bless one another. If you want to join us in that type of ministry, please do so. On the website is a donate button. Our scripture for today, Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your hearts be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. That's pretty cool. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka.
All you gotta know is if you know what that sound is, you're old. That's all I'm going to say. All right, a couple things. I want to give you an update. Noelle is feeling a lot better. Thank you, everybody, for being in prayer for her. She did a lot better day yesterday, so I know that's a big deal. I want to thank the prayer groups that are involved with our ministry. Be aware the weekend's coming, so the enemy doesn't take weekends off like we do. So let's just keep thinking of that. He doesn't go, oh, it's Sunday. I'm not doing anything. Okay, that doesn't work. And then additionally, I'm just going to give a shout-out, and I think Jacob will appreciate this, but go Lions. Go Lions, beating Green Bay yesterday, 3-1 start. It's like, what? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone right now, right? Lions starting 3-1.
3-1. I think maybe the Lord comes back this week.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen. All right, be in prayer, all that stuff. I want you to take care of one another. I want you to love one another. Enjoy what you can from this show. Let it be a blessing to you and encourage you as you're heading into the weekend and things of that nature. We are, in fact, going into a new book today as we finished an old book last week and then, or 2 weeks ago. And then last week we had an interview, which was a wonderful interview with the AMP partners that had to do with Scott Phelps. Really enjoyed that. And we're going to be doing more and more interviews. So get ready for that. And yes, if you want your pastor to be interviewed, you just got to say, hey, reach out to Dave. He'll do an interview. We don't charge for that. We just think it's cool to encourage the kingdom of God. Okay. So, and nobody, we don't do gotcha interviews. What we want to do is we want to catch what it is that's moving on people, that moved these pastors and ministers to do ministry. What is it that kind of brought them in? And they can talk about their church, their ministry, so on and so forth. In the meantime, Letter O. James is where we're heading to. I'm going to read the first two or three verses, give you a little background. We'll go from there because we're really not going to get out of verse 2 in case you're wondering what's going to happen. Here is what we're going to talk about. I want to welcome you, by the way, to the book of James, having finished Hebrews. And so in the canonical order, this is the next book. So this is not Peter, James, John. It's not the James of Peter, James, John. Okay, the trio of the early gospel people. This is James, the Lord's brother. And we might be thinking, well, wait. All right, slow down, and I'll help you out. Ready? We want to keep it all in the family. So how do we know it's not the early James of James, Peter, and John? That's simple, because that James was executed in Acts chapter 12, and then in Acts chapter 15, three chapters later, the Lord's brother, James, is one who's leading the church. So to a degree, Jesus was keeping it in the family. Then you find out that Jude, one of the other brothers, also wrote in the New Testament. In fact, I'm doing some review on Jude right now. I taught about that yesterday. So what I want you to understand, and this is probably one of the most important things, is the key to this epistle, okay? That it's simply this. You're not even going to make this complex. Everybody thinks it's this, this, this. Just listen to the key to this epistle. By the way, this was written about 40 to 45 A.D., one of the earliest epistles in the New Testament, just to let you know. One of the first two, for sure. Here's what it's all about. Believers must live out their faith. That is what this entire letter is geared towards. Believers must live out their faith. They can't just bat their eyes or their eyebrows and say, "We love Jesus." You got to actually live the faith. The main thesis of this epistle, which is not the wife of an apostle, is that the readers were suffering persecution and poverty. Anybody feeling a financial pinch about right now? Anybody feeling a little bit of persecution increasing in America? Which, by the way, nothing like it is anywhere else across the world, but you feel it. And because of that tension, too many believers were changing and living in worldly manners. Now listen why this is so important, okay? Because when they live in worldly manners, and when we live in worldly manners, we're disappointing the Lord. It's like, that's not how you're supposed to do the faith, man. That's not what it is. And so they needed to, like we need to, work out the issues. So I want you to understand, going in, what it is that we're talking about. I'm giving you an unbelievable example, and it's out of Genesis 34. And when we go to Genesis, you know it's going to take 3 years to teach that book. But when we go to Genesis, what happened was Diana, who was the daughter of Leah, she was, in fact, sexually attacked and raped by this group of people. And then this group of people came and they said to Jacob and to the brothers, they said, "Hey, why don't you become like us? Why don't you live with us? Why don't you merge with us? And we'll kind of be like all one big happy family, sharing land, sharing resources, sharing everything." And what that really was an offer to merge with that society, which was godless. So there's always an attempt by the godless and the worldly to merge with people of faith so that why, and actually the reason is told you in Genesis 34, so they could actually get the resources that Jacob and his family had. That was the real goal. It's always about the money. Anyway, going back to this, you got to be aware that the world will make its offer for you and I to merge with them. Be one of us. We love just like you love. No, they don't. They don't love the same way. The definition of their word love is completely different than the biblical word. So when they offer to merge, the answer is no. Why? Because a friend of the world is an enemy of God. They're going to get that in this epistle a little later on. But let's look at verse 1:1 as we get into it. He says this, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion." Dispersion is when the Israel was dispersed out. This is a reference to that, but it is not specifically connecting it to Israel. It's just saying you guys have been scattered all over the place. Why have they been scattered all over the place? Because the persecution against Christians was starting to ramp up. And they were struggling financially to make ends meet. And so James starts the whole letter off, and I want you to see something with this thing is so huge. In James's position, he easily could have said an apostle, but he didn't. He easily could have said the one leading the church, but he didn't. He easily could have said brother of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, somebody walks in there and they're in a meeting and he goes, "Hey, who are you?" "I'm the brother of Jesus." I just feel that carries weight. I don't know about you, But he comes off and he says, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what James did? He opened up his epistle saying, I'm just a servant. I'm just doing the stuff. He was my earthly brother, but he was altogether different than that. And so he just humbled himself and just in his open identity. Now, it's not that it's wrong for him to say that it's apostle, but I always am suspicious of people nowadays that go around going, I'm an apostle. Like, okay. Paul writing his letter, that was a little different situation. But you watch people today who claim to be apostles. Just make sure that you're not just falling for everything and anything. But the big thing about James in the opening is positioned as this guy was, he didn't use that position. He humbled himself and recognized this is about Jesus Christ. Isn't that wild? All right, let's do a little, and then wait, because you're going to absolutely hate me in about 3 minutes or 2 minutes. But you have to love me, but you're going to hate me. All right, here's your trivia question to start off with. To which synagogues did Saul, before he became Paul, to which synagogues did the high priest, did Saul ask for letters from the high priest? To which synagogues was he trying to go to? Was it the ones in Syria, Damascus, or Washington? He was trying to get letters so that he could present them, so he could persecute Christians. Was that to Syria, that he was on his way to Syria, Damascus, or Washington? Where was Paul heading that he needed letters from the high priest? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. If you're in San Diego and you want to call, be our guest. Please call. We'll put you to the front of the line. Well, not really, but you can still call. You're welcome to text as well, 214-210-8483. That's the number to text, 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So as Saul, who later became Paul, was going to the high priest to ask for letters to put Christians in jail, where was he heading? Was it Syria, Damascus, or Washington? That's your question. That's your opportunity. 972-445-0770. Also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And here's the part where you guys are going to go, I don't like you anymore. James chapter 1, verse 2. You ready? Okay, I didn't write this. I'm just saying. Ready? James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. Oh, my. Consider it pure joy when we win the lottery. Oh, wait, that's not what it says. How about this for a barn burner? Consider it pure joy when we encounter trials. Well, wait a second, James. Are you trying to say to me that when we encounter trials, I should consider it pure joy? Yes. What? Well, that's crazy. Yep. And that's the faith in Jesus. So either say amen or say oh me, because here's the bottom line. When you and I go through different processes, we need to have a greater sense of faith, not a fake outward faith, a genuine faith that says the Lord is going to work this out for good. There is purpose behind this that I cannot nor do not currently see, but my God is faithful, and I don't have to be afraid of going through different struggles or times because he's with me and I can count on him. And he's already telling me, hey, Dave, you're going to encounter trials of many different kinds. You're going to go through it. It's going to happen. But he's telling me it's a joy because I will show you I am with you. I will show you when you prevail. I will teach you through this process, and I will draw you closer to me. Now, backing up to the original big prayers that most of us said, on the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as we started to progress in him, did you not say, I just want to be like you, Lord. I just want my life to reflect you. Okay, well, he's answering that prayer. And so when we go through these trials, again, using Job as a great launching pad, sometimes you think the trials are some form of judgment. Well, if something's being judged in you and the Lord needs you to know, where would you go to get that answer? To the Lord. And sometimes that trial, it's warfare. Well, if it's warfare, and you know it's warfare, where would you go to get the information or the relief from that warfare? Do you go to yourself or do you go to God? Well, you would go to God. Well, let's say the trial is just because of the sinfulness that's on planet Earth. Let's say the reason that you're going through it is because man rebelled in the garden and this entire planet is under sin until the full redemption comes about from Jesus Christ, where he pushes the bell, ding, 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 and all nature and all humanity and all things, including the earth itself, are redeemed, and then we have a new heavens and a new earth. If that's the reason you're going through the trial, where do you go when you're having that kind of trial and that kind of struggle? Who do you go to talk to about it? You go to God. Ding, ding, ding. You see, it doesn't matter what kind of trial it is. And that's why it says trials of many kinds or diverse kinds or different ones, because it could be a spiritual trial. It could be a teaching you to grow up trial. It could be just the world trial. It could be Satan coming after you. It could be nothing but a lousy day. It could be all that stuff. Where do you go? Where do you go when you have a trial? You go to the Lord. And so even though we consider this a difficult, what the Lord is trying to teach us is to look past what you see initially and see with his face in the picture. The biggest problem that Christians have, including myself, is when I go through something, is pushing past the clouds and the winds and the waves and seeing the face of God. And the struggle that I have is, I just like Peter, I struggle because I look at the waves and I listen to the wind. Now, here's something you might not have caught. This is a small little secrety thing. Not secrety thing, but cool thing. Ready? When the disciples were in the boat, okay, another time now, when the disciples were in the boat, and this is a separate time from when Peter was walking on water. A different time there was a storm when the disciples were in the boat. And this boat was getting swamped. And the winds were really loud. Who did they go to for the answer in that trial? They went to Jesus. They woke him up, right? I, of course, maintain that Jesus probably didn't wake up saying, gee, thanks for waking me up like that. That's just my personal preference. But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is we go to God. And so while we might have trials that we don't love, not enjoying, they can have multiple sources or origins or multiple purposes that are beyond our reach, the scope of our mindset. The bottom line is that the Christian who has got to be functioning more in doing than just winking and saying, yes, I am, actually being a Christian, actually spending time with God, we have to go to God to get the help. And that's the thing that people don't look at when they're going through the trouble. They don't look at what is being brought about from this process. What they look at is, how do I get out of this? Maybe what we should do is say, I know how to get through this. Here I come, Lord. I'm spending time with you. Maybe that would be a better response. And I think part of the difficulty for a lot of people is that they're trying to evaluate why it happens. Hey, here might be an idea. Instead of just looking at why it happens, let's just go to who can bring us through whatever we're encountering. Maybe as we walk with him side by side in that sense, we get freedom from all these things that tried to oppress us, no matter what their origin. Because we've said this before on the show, and we'll say it again, and we don't care what politicians say or other, you know, people who proclaim that they're Christians and don't know Jesus from a brown paper bag. We don't really care about that. Here's what we care about. Everything you ever go through, ever, no matter what it is, at any time, ever, always, can always find the solution with more of God in the situation. Money, finances, relationship, society, societal ills, every single thing you can come up with in the universe comes down to, if there was more of God in this, it would be so much better, right? Okay. All right, now to answer the trivia question, because I got to answer the trivia question, to which synagogues did Saul go to get the high priest to ask for letters? Where was he going? Was it to Syria, to Damascus, or to Washington? I think everybody knows Washington's not the place to go. The answer is Damascus. Ding, ding. That's the key, because it was Paul, or Saul, who was on the road to Damascus when he had his encounter. All right, if you are in San Diego, you can hang out with us. You just got to go to hemusincrease.org and click on Listen Live. That's all you got to do. If you're here in Dallas, just keep listening. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal. How I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes. I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word Hanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.